Open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Last week we talked about entering through the narrow gate, and broad was the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is that gate that leads to life. And how many are there that find that narrow gate? Few that find it. I pray that few includes everybody in this room, amen? Everybody in our families. But what we understand is there's going to be a whole lot of people following the other way, so we can't go by popularity and by polls on this one. We need to go by the Scripture. Okay, guys, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We're going to read Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15. We want to enter in through that narrow gate, and there's going to be people come along and try to trick us, guys. Listen up. We're reading, starting at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just pray that you'll help us to know right teachings by the fruit that we see, and right teachers. And Lord, that you will help us to beware of these false prophets. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us the Spirit and the gift of discernment, that we can tell one from another. Protect us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. In so standing, we all acknowledge this word is for us today, amen, each one of us personally. So we need to beware of that big bad wolf. And I think that the children just helped so much this morning by telling us that story, especially that one about Red Riding Hood and how that wolf disguised himself, right? That story always got me because, like, she had to know that there was something wrong with Grandma. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, guys, sometimes we can be kind of easily tricked, wouldn't you admit? So we've really got to watch for this wolf in sheep's clothing. Even if it's a wolf in sheep's clothing, guess what? It's still a wolf. And what's a wolf going to do? Wolf's going to eat those sheep whenever he's got the chance, right? And wolf just does what a wolf does. You know, we've heard about putting the fox or the wolf to guard the hen house. What's that wolf going to do? What's that fox, that predator going to do? It's going to eat those chickens the first time it gets a chance. Guys, if a wolf comes in to take guard over a flock of believers, a false teacher, eventually it's going to wind up eating those sheep, amen? Going to end up destroying those sheep. Don't even necessarily make good use of all of it, but what we see is Jesus has given us a warning here in Matthew 7:15. And what I praise God about is he doesn't just tell us to beware, he also gives us the tools that we're going to need to be able to tell the difference. So let's follow along here. We're going to kind of break this down just a little bit more. Matthew 24:24, he talks about this as well. And he says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive." This is the part in this that comforts me. "If possible, the elect." Even the elect. So if they would deceive even the elect, if that were possible, don't you know that these false Christs and false prophets are going to easily deceive people that are not the elect? So like how many are going to enter through the narrow gate? Few, right? And there's going to be a whole bunch that are going through the broad path that leads to destruction. And in that whole bunch of people, they're going to be believing these false prophets that Jesus is talking about. They're going to be fooled by them easily because they do not have the protection of God. They do not have the spiritual discernment to tell the difference. So I'm just going to tell you guys, we cannot go with the flow on this thing. And just because everybody else seems to like that teaching or like that person or it sounds reasonable to them, you know, we're going to go along with it too. That's not a good plan. That's not a good plan. That one's not going to work. So how are we going to know a good fruit from a bad fruit? By the fruit, we're going to know the teacher, the good teacher from the bad teacher, the good prophet from the bad prophet, by his fruit. How are we going to be able to inspect that fruit? We're going to have to hold their life. I heard life on this side, and I saw a Bible on that side against the Word of God. Guys, we're going to have to hold every teaching that they show us, every fruit that they hold out, we're going to have to hold it up against the Word of God. Have you ever seen fruit that's been passed through an inspector, you know, and maybe they sign off and say that fruit's been inspected? What do they use as their guide? Somebody tells them what's good and what's bad, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And so they use that criteria to look at that fruit, and then they inspect that fruit and they say, this is good fruit or this is bad fruit according to that. And let's say that that we can tell by the fruit that it ain't coming off of that tree that's over there. It's coming off a different kind of tree. Okay, because the tree only grows the right kind of fruit, right? And so like an apple tree, have you ever picked a peach off an apple tree? Because I like peaches better than apples. I mean, like a good ripe, tree-ripe peach, that's my choice of all the fruit in the world. There's nothing like it. But apple trees are a lot more hardy. They last a lot longer and everything. So I plant a lot of apple trees, and man, I'm hoping to get some peaches off of them things this year. It's really a bad plan, isn't it? It's the same way with the type of fruit, guys. If a teacher is giving off bad fruit, then we can know the tree's bad. How about us? If we're giving off bad fruit, it might be saying something about our tree too, right? And so we need to judge. We need to use this as a judgment. And again, this Word of God is our standard, guys. Your neighbor isn't your standard. Your friend isn't your standard. And what they think is right and wrong, God is our standard. If we use any other standard, then we're going to be all over the chart on this one. So we need to use God's Word. In fact, whenever we hear those words, that these are going to be so tricky and so convincing that if it were possible, they would even deceive the elect. That is a very scary thought. That sounds very frightening. But I want us to understand, Jesus is preparing us on how to discern false prophets. And so let's go back to that Matthew 7 passage again. Let's look at that just a little bit more. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And the answer most definitely is no, right? You're going to know them by their fruits. What kind of fruit do we want to see flowing out of a good teacher? Can you guys think of any fruits that we're going to want to see? Where are we going to get these fruits from? They should be coming from the Spirit of God. And is there anywhere in the Bible where we can find out what some of these fruits are going to be? All right, Galatians 5. Would somebody like to read the fruits of the Spirit from the book of Galatians for me? Hannah, can you sing them for me? All right, thank you. I think, praise God. All right, so we just got the list of the fruits of the Spirit. We should definitely see those coming out of any teaching that is coming from God. Okay? We should be able to see the spirit of love. We should be able to see that spirit of joy. We should be able to speak. And a lot of these teachings can be very serious, and they can have very serious implications, but nonetheless, we need to see a spirit of humility as well in these teachers, right? And any type of prophet. You know, I get in a lot of discussions with a lot of different folks that have a lot of different theological viewpoints, okay? But even then, we go back to what is the fruit of that way that maybe you're following. And, you know, legalism is something that can creep in very easily. It's hard to even see this creeping into our lives. And that's where we're trying to please God by what we do, by following His laws perfectly. And we feel like God doesn't love us unless we do that. Is that why God loves us? Is just when we keep the laws right? No, absolutely not. God loves you anyway. He loves you even whenever you've done wrong. Did you know that? God's love is unconditional for you. And He may not be pleased when we're doing wrong. And He may have to discipline us when we're doing wrong. But let me make a very clear thing from Scripture understood to you, that even while we were still sinners, this is Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. And so God loves us. John 3:16, God, can you say this one with me? So loved the world. Go ahead, say the rest of it. Not perish, but have everlasting life. That's right. And see, this one, guys, just tells us it's God loved us even before we came to believe. Even before we ever did anything right or wrong, God loves us. And so we can tell that's a false teaching. To say that God only loves us whenever we follow the law perfectly, that's a false teaching. Okay? Should we try to follow God and do what's right? Absolutely, because we're going to find joy as we follow God. But He doesn't want us to just be checking it off the list. He wants us to have a relationship with Him that's joyful and close, and we're having those fruits of the Spirit. John 13:34-35 says something about this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for another. Boy, there's a perfect fruit inspection verse right there. I've seen a lot of teachers who claim that they have a lot of truth. But let me tell you something, guys. If they don't really love God's people, they don't really have a love for the flock, I would beware. Because we really need to be careful of following somebody who doesn't exemplify this fruit of the Spirit. Because Jesus is saying, this is how you're going to know, this is how the whole world's going to know that y'all are my disciples, is if you love one another. Have you ever seen a church and teachers that knew a lot, but they didn't love a lot? Have you ever seen that? And we got to make sure that we too exemplify this as well. 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. This is what I prayed for with the children, that we would have discernment to be able to test the spirits, right? We want to be able to test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just like Jesus said, the Apostle John was recognizing, this is happening already right now, and there's a lot of false belief systems out there, guys. And sometimes they can be so close. They can be wearing all the right clothing and all that stuff. But guys, we're going to be able to tell whenever we test that against the Word of God, when we test the spirits that is behind that, when we see if it's the spirit of love, if there's peace, joy, you know, and all those fruits of the Spirit coming out of that. And another one is, another fruit that God always wants to see coming out of the true church, reaching out to the lost. Because we have a calling. Matthew 28:19-20. Right? Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe or obey all things which I have commanded them. And lo, I am with you even to the end of this age. So Jesus has given us the command, and the true church is going to be helping to fulfill that command. Recently talked with somebody who said they felt like that the gospel had been preached to the whole world, so we didn't need to worry about that anymore. Do y'all believe that? There's still billions of people who have not heard the gospel. It doesn't matter that maybe a generation before them, some of their forefathers or five generations before them or whatever, had heard the gospel. Guys, that ain't what Jesus is after. Jesus is after the personal souls because He loves them, right? And so we need to be a part of that, and the true church will be a part of that. The true preachers and teachers and those are going to advocate that. Again, Romans 16:17-18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. You see, this is another fruit. Okay, if all that teacher is doing is trying to cause division all the time and not trying to unify the body of Christ, Paul literally in the book of Romans is saying you just need to avoid them. You need to stay away from them. That doesn't mean that some of their teachings, if they're true to the Word of God, are going to necessarily please everybody out there, but if all they're trying to do is stir up trouble and arguments all the time, this is telling us that we really need to avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Christ or Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. And in other places it talks about these false teachers. All they're really wanting to do is just serve themselves and maybe even get a profit from that teaching. In fact, in Philippians 3, kind of talks about that. The same Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit, writing to them, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How many would want to follow an enemy of the cross of Christ? That would be a bad person to follow. How can we recognize them? He tells us this. He says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Guys, we could spend hours going over more and more scriptures. I mean, you go through the book of Jude, you go through 1st and 2nd Peter, you go through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You can just go through all, you know, you look in Revelation. We look all over the New Testament and we learn about false teachers, guys. We need to be learning these things. You need to be learning these things on your own time. You should be able to recognize a false teacher by holding it up against the Word of God. You know how you're going to know a false teacher? Not by studying false teachers to see what false teachers look like. It's just like being able to tell a real dollar bill from a fake one. You study the real one, and then you'll be able to tell when there's any variation that doesn't look like that. So you study the real Jesus, and then you're going to know when the real Jesus is being preached, because we're going to know if it lines up with the Word of God. Been some real popular teachers get big followings. And guys, as long as they really stick to the Word of God, I'm all for them having a big following. When they divert from that, we need to beware. There's a really popular group called Christians United for Israel. And some of you will even know the preacher who's behind all that. And it sounds real good, but do you know in their charter they claim that you should not evangelize Jews? That you should not try to lead them to Jesus? Does that sound right to anybody out here? No, immediately, red flag goes up, right? Because we know Jews are saved the same way we are. They're saved through belief in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? Paul makes that very clear. Well, that same individual says Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Did Jesus claim to be the Messiah, the Christ? Absolutely. More than one place, more than one way, and he proved it. He proved it by healing people. He proved it by doing what the Old Testament said that Christ would do. He proved it by fulfilling more than 90 of those prophecies in his lifetime and then dying on the cross and raising from the dead. He proved it. He claimed it. He is the Christ. No doubt about it. He's the Jewish Christ. He is the Christ for the Jews, the Messiah for every Jewish person, and he is the Messiah for the Gentiles as well. He is the anointed one. He paid the price. He went to heaven and he's coming back. That's the Christ. And anybody that preaches any Christ other than that as being the only way to salvation for the Jew and for the Greek and for anybody else out here is a false teacher, and we need to reject it. They are division within the church. We need to recognize a true teacher from a false teacher. Does that teacher teach some good things? Some of it sounds pretty good. But guys, when we hit that roadblock, that bad fruit, that's a total bad fruit, and it totally denies an absolute necessary thing of the gospel, we must stop being taught by that person. So, all teachings must line up with the Word of God. This church, all teachings must line up with the Word of God. Can somebody sometimes make a mistake and not be a false prophet? Absolutely. We are fallible human beings. What do you do if you catch someone making a mistake as one of your teachers? Do you stand up and scream it publicly and rebuke them right there in front of everybody? That probably wouldn't be the best plan. You go to them privately afterwards and you say, Maybe I misunderstood you, but it seemed like you said this. Can you show me where you're getting that from the scripture? Can we talk about it? That's your first plan right there. Okay, Jesus spelled this all out. See, we're going back to the scripture again. Matthew 18. You know, if you've been offended by your brother offends you, you first go talk to them in person, privately. If that don't work, what do you do next? You guys, a lot of you guys might know this. Take somebody with you, a reliable witness to go with you, or maybe two. If that don't work, then you got to do something before the church. But even then, we do it with all honor and respect of that human being, okay? So, we've got a plan. We've got our fruit inspection list. Now, we just have to all, every one of us out here, guys, listen up. You all, I need to be in the Word of God every day of our life, learning the Word of God, and then we too will be girded up to have the gift of discernment to be able to tell a false teacher when we see one, okay, when we hear one. So I pray to God, in fact, I'm going to pray over you right now, that you would have what it takes to be able to spot a false teacher from a mile away. Because this is what I love about Jesus' statement. If possible, they might even deceive the elect. It's not possible. If you stay in God's Word, you'll be able to tell. So let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that we not be led by feelings and emotions whenever it comes to your teachings, but we'll be led by the Word of God. And that, Lord, we would be able to recognize false fruit, bad fruit, whenever we see it, so we're not misled by false teachers. Lord, I pray for this congregation. They will be self-feeders on God's Word daily. They will be looking into God's Word, finding your answers. Lord, the very first thing that we have to have, though, is we need to be the elect. There's the important key right there. We've got to be the elect before we won't be fooled. Being the elect means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, to totally have surrendered our heart to you, to be following you, to have the Holy Spirit living in me, that's what I need. That's the first tool. God, I pray that if there's anybody here today that hasn't repented of their sins and turned their life over to Jesus, that today might be the day. Jesus, you are the only way to be saved. You are the only way for us to have the Holy Spirit living in us. You are the only way that we are not going to be deceived by this world. The enemy is stronger than us, but God, he's got nothing on you, and you protect your children. So Lord, please help us to leave this place making sure that we are a child of God. Lord, please don't let us leave until we are sure of that. Help each one to be convicted in their own heart, Lord, and convinced in their own heart about where they are with you. If anybody needs to surrender their heart to you today, new relationship with Jesus Christ can start right now. So Lord, please lead us today during this time of invitation, and I pray that we would just obey your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Y'all want to stand up here? We'll get...
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield that I'm still seeking thy will. Oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield that I'm still seeking thy will. Oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. It is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart. speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield that I'm still seeking thy will. Oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Hear that I'm still seeking thy will. Oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield that I'm still seeking thy will. Oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. It is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield that I'm still seeking thy will. Oh, speak to my heart today. Lord, Lord Jesus, speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, help me the Lord to hear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yield and I'm still speak.
All right, guys. If everybody can have a seat real quick. Kayla has come before the church this morning and prayed with me that she has fully surrendered her heart to Jesus. And she's nervous about being up here in front of everybody, and I don't blame her. Nobody wants to be the center of attention, so that's why I always reassure everybody, it's Jesus that's the center of attention this morning. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit who is working in our hearts. And she's here to glorify God this morning, to say that she wants as well to be baptized at the same time as Adam and Dayton, whenever that time comes. And that we have been going through discipleship process together, of going through the Life Coach book that some of you all have gone through. And they've been doing their book through the week. And then we've been meeting together and kind of going over some of their answers. We met last week, and Kayla is ready to follow Jesus with all her heart. And so I just want to give God a hand this morning and just say thank you, Jesus. And so I guess I need a motion and a second that we approve her baptism and church membership. Okay. So, and praise the Lord from everybody as they desire to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen and a praise the Lord. And it is awesome to see God drawing people's hearts to follow Him. If He's drawing your heart, I want you to understand, guys, just because the invitation song's over don't mean that you can't still surrender your heart to Jesus. Amen. So if you desire to do that, then you just, you can take me off to the side. And I pray with you, we can start that time of walking with Jesus even today. If you have any questions, we'll answer them according to the Scripture. I'm not going to give you my opinions on it, guys, because my opinions aren't worth any more than your opinions or anybody else's opinions. It's the Word of God that matters, and the Word of God says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, that we should be saved. And I can tell you, once you enter into that relationship, everybody that's a child of God should say amen to this one. God owns us. We are His child. And we will never cease to be His child. He will discipline us when we need it. Amen? And He's going to keep us. You know what I'm saying? Like, He's going to keep us with Him. That's why we don't fall away. Okay? It's God keeping us. And so I reassure this young family, it's God who is going to keep you. It's God, and you will have to go along with Him. You're going to have to agree with Him. But you've given your heart to Jesus. Now you're His. And so praise the Lord for that. Because He does not divorce His children. He does not undo His adoption with His adopted children. So I say praise God to that. Because if it was up to me, I'd have lost it a long time ago. But God is the one holding on to me. Amen? So let's serve Him wholeheartedly, knowing that we can't slip out of His grasp. And let's just give it all to Christ. Amen? All right, so we celebrate this, but we need to celebrate something else this morning as well. I think we have a couple birthdays.
Okay.